Thank you for that wonderful singing. Thank you, instrumentalist and vocalist, for leading us in that. What a blessing, a joy to have all of these instruments and voices up here together. And I hope that you enjoyed this first Sunday of the new blended music ministry. And I know we're going to have a lot of variety as we move ahead. And we thank the Lord for the blessing of being able to share together in music. And thank you so much for being here and your interest in the Word of God. We've come to hear God speak this morning. What a privilege to know that God's Word is living. God's Word is powerful. God's Word is sharper than a two-edged sword. And it goes down to the deepest parts of our being. And the things that I say this morning may or may not touch you, impact you, but I trust that the Word of God will go deeply into your being this morning. When you want to know how to do something, where do you go? How many of you go to YouTube? You want to know how to fix something, you want to know how to make something, you want to know how to figure something out, you go to YouTube, right? That becomes our guide today. If you have a smartphone or a computer, if you haven't been on YouTube to try to figure out how to fix something and repair a light or make a cake or stay awake during a sermon or anything, I'm sure there's something about that on there too. So if I see you on your phone, I know you're getting a little sleepy, so you go right ahead and look up that YouTube video on how to stay awake during the sermon. So, but we often need a guide when it comes to things in life. And of course, we know that the greatest guide is the Word of God as we go to see how we're to live our lives. I'm going to ask you to go to Colossians chapter 4 this morning. We're going to take a little detour, a couple of books away from our study in the book of Galatians. And we'd like to think this morning about getting outside. That, as you may know, and hopefully you do if you've been attending here some this year, that our theme for 2018 as a local church is get outside. And we find that from verse 5 of Colossians chapter 4, where we read that we're to walk in wisdom toward those who are outside. Those who are outside. Your translation may say them that are without. Some translations say outsiders, or the ones outside, or those of the outside world. The thought here is he is speaking of those who do not know the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. And so he's challenging those who do know the Lord Jesus, who are born again, who do have a relationship with God, or followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is challenging us to live in a certain way toward those who do not know the Lord Jesus Christ, who are not in Christ, but rather are, in the eyes of God, on the outside. Not necessarily the outside of this building. You can sit in this building 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and that doesn't make you in Christ. We know that we have to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ in order to be saved. Well, this week, as Todd has reminded us and exhorted us, is our week of outreach. It's our Get Outside Week of Outreach. For me, for short, that's Go Woo. And that's been in all my my little notes to myself. Go, get outside, woo, week of outreach. So don't forget the Go Woo is this week. And in your bulletin, there's a lot of information about that. There's a table as you leave this room to your right, and there are a number of sheets there where you could put your name down beside one or more or all of these different outreaches to be involved in that during this week, and we would love for you to do that. And I want to kind of talk a little bit about that this morning as I talk about Paul's guide to getting outside. Paul's guide to getting outside in the context of this idea in verse 5 of those who are outside is verse 2 through verse 6. And as Paul comes down to the end of this letter that he wrote to the believers at Colossae 2,000 years ago, he emphasizes some things that I think are very important In fact, I believe they're essential if we are going to be effective in getting outside with the gospel, not just during this week, not just in the evenings of this week or on Saturday, but in every aspect of our lives. You know, sometimes getting outside, you do that in your house. If there are unbelievers who live in your house, then you're outside even when you're inside, in your workplace, in your school setting, in your neighborhood, in the marketplace. Every aspect of your life, it's likely that there are unbelievers around you, and in reality, you are outside. So let's, if we could, if you'll follow along, I'm going to read verses 2 through 6 in Colossians chapter 4. I'm reading from the New King James Version. Continue earnestly in prayer, being vigilant in it with thanksgiving. Meanwhile, praying also for us, that God would open to us a door for the Word to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in chains, that I may make it manifest as I ought to speak. Walk in wisdom toward those who were outside, redeeming the time. Let your speech always be with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer each one. Now, whether you're a novice at getting outside, or you're a well-trained and well-traveled evangelist, or like most of us, you're somewhere in between those two extremes, Everyone can benefit from some guidance from the human author that God used to write at least 13 of the 27 New Testament books. Paul the Apostle. He knows a thing or two about getting outside. He's seen a thing or two about getting outside. Just like farmer's insurance, Paul knows, because he's seen it. And Paul was there, and Paul not only knew about it, Paul invested his life into getting outside, to reaching them with the gospel. Those who lived during his time in the part of the world where he lived, he desired to invest his life and his ministry, much of that, in sharing the gospel with them. And guess what? Paul isn't here. Now, Paul is here, but not Paul the Apostle. We have several Pauls who are here this morning, but the Paul that we read about in the book of Acts and that wrote these words and dictated these words that we just read in the book of Colossians, he's not here today. He's not able to get outside. That is your responsibility, and that is my responsibility. And praise God that Paul, before he died, he left us somewhat of a guide to getting outside. And that's how we'd like to look at these verses this morning. And we'd like to dissect these verses. In the time we have, we hope that our hearts will be pierced with the Word of God as we look at five essentials for effectiveness in getting outside with the gospel. We'll make some application to this week. But again, this is not just about this week. This is about every minute of every day of the life of every believer in the Lord Jesus. So let's begin to look at these. And the first essential that we're going to find for effectiveness in getting outside with the gospel, you noticed it very clearly in our reading, is activity in prayer. Activity in prayer. And you notice there again in verse 2, he starts out, continue earnestly in prayer, being vigilant in it, in prayer, with thanksgiving, that's in prayer. Meanwhile, praying also for us. Paul starts with prayer. As he begins this short guide on getting outside with the gospel, he starts with prayer. Prayer was very important to Paul. You read through Paul's letters and you see that he repeatedly asked people to pray for him. We find not only that he asked for prayer, we find that he exhorted prayer, not only for himself, but for others, and he even exemplified it in his letters. You read through his letters and you find a number of prayers that Paul wrote down that he had prayed. And he said, here's what I pray for you. Here's what I pray for you. And you know, that's a wonderful way to pray, by the way. You can go and look at some of Paul's prayers. And they're in Ephesians and Colossians, but in other of his letters as well. And you can actually take that prayer and you can pray it for someone else. That's a wonderful way to pray. Not the only way to pray, surely, but a wonderful way to pray. Paul knew that prayer was and is an essential when it comes to sharing the gospel. And really not just when we're sharing the gospel, but whatever we're doing, prayer is an essential. What does prayer do? Prayer expresses our dependence on God. Prayer says to God, God, I can't do this, therefore I'm asking you to do this. So you know what? If there's anything that I don't pray about, what does that mean? I got it. Lord, I don't need you with this. I've got it. So what does that tell us? We should pray about everything. We should pray all the time. Paul tells us that as he writes to us in another letter. You see, Jonah knew from the belly of the great fish, the very last words of his prayer were this: salvation is of the Lord. Salvation is of the Lord. You know, it's not of you and it's not of me. And no matter how well we may communicate the message, that's important. We'll see that as we go through. No matter how much we may love someone, that's important. We'll see that as we look through this brief guide to getting outside. It's God that does the saving. It's God that takes someone who is lost in sin and bound under guilt and brings that individual from being far, far, far away from God to bringing that person to where they are actually in Christ, in a relationship with God, knowing God, being assured of eternity with God. And God does that through the work of His Son, the gospel of grace. The Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, God the Son, died for our sins, was buried and rose again and was seen. The Lord Jesus took your place, my place. Salvation is of the Lord. Had He not done that, there would be no salvation. If the Holy Spirit of God did not work through the Word of God in the hearts of individuals, there would be no salvation. We need to pray. We need to pray about getting outside. The Lord Jesus told us to pray in Matthew 9, verses 37 and 38. He told us to pray about the harvest. Go outside where the harvest is. The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. And He said, therefore, pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into His harvest. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 3:6, he said, I planted. I went outside and I planted the gospel seed. And Apollos, he came along behind me and he watered the gospel seed. But it's God who gives the increase. We need to pray. We need to pray about getting outside. It's the gospel of Christ that is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes. And therefore, we need to discipline ourselves to an active prayer life. You know, we can know that it's important to pray. And I don't think there's anybody in this room who would say it's not important to pray. We know it's important to pray. We can be convinced even that it's essential that we pray if we're going to share the gospel with someone. But that doesn't mean that we do it. We can stay very passive and not be involved in an active prayer life. We need to pray before we go outside. We need to pray while we are outside with unbelievers. We need to pray after we're outside sharing the gospel with unbelievers. Paul talks about that prayer. Notice some of the characteristics of the prayer there in verse 2. Continue earnestly. Continue. There's got to be perseverance in prayer. We might think, well, if I pray one time, I shouldn't pray again because that means I don't believe that God will give it to me. No, He says, I want you to keep expressing your dependence on me. That's what God wants. It's not that we're trying to talk him into it or remind him because he might forget. No, we want to continually express our dependence on God. And God, you are the one. We're going to be committed to praying. And then he says that we need to be vigilant in prayer. We need to be alert. We need to focus. We need to pay attention. We need to concentrate. I want to ask you to raise your hand if you've ever fallen asleep while you were praying. Yeah. What about, have you ever daydreamed while you were praying? Why do we do that? Because prayer is something that requires alertness. It requires alertness. We also find that Paul brings out the need for thanksgiving in prayer. Continue earnestly in prayer, being vigilant in prayer, with thanksgiving in prayer. I would suggest that this gratitude is a gratitude for answers of the past. Thank you, God, for what you did yesterday. Thank you, Father, for what you did last week. Thank you, Lord, for what you did 2,000 years ago. But it's also gratitude for what God is going to do. What do we call that? We call that faith. We believe that God is going to answer prayer. He said He would. He said He would. So we come before Him in prayer, and we come with thanksgiving. And we also see that this prayer, this active prayer, which is involved with getting outside, is characterized by specifics. And He talks about two specific prayer requests He has. He challenges them, I want you to pray. I want you to be alert and thankful and persevering in prayer. And while you're praying, pray for me, Paul says. I need prayer. I need you to pray for me. I need you to pray for me that I'll have opportunity, that God would open a door to us for the Word. That the message of the gospel might go out. We need to pray for open doors. God can do the door opening. He can give us the in. He can help us to get our foot in the door by opening the door, opening the conversation. This week, we need God to open doors. Tomorrow night, we're going to have children, mostly from a housing project, coming in over here to the gym to play some games and to eat hot dogs and to hear the gospel message. But if the doors don't open in that housing project, then the children won't come out. Now, this is a literal door I'm talking about here, as well as the figurative door that he's speaking of in Colossians chapter 4 and verse 3. Tuesday night, we're going to go out into the neighborhood, as Todd told us, and we're going to be asking for prayer requests. But if people don't open their door, we can't talk with them. We need to pray that God will literally open doors as well as open those opportunities for the gospel. Thursday, we're going to go into an apartment complex. We need to pray that God will open the doors of those apartments, that children and young people and adults will come out. Even if they're drawn by a snow cone, that will bring them out, that we'll be able to share the gospel. On Friday, design your own outreach. We need to ask God to open the doors of creativity in our minds, that we can come up with ideas about how we can do that, whether we bring someone from outside into our home or we go out to where they are and seek to share the gospel. On Saturday, we're going to have a free car wash in the lower parking lot. And we need people to open their car doors. God, bring those people in and help them to open the door and get out and let us wash their car, that we can share the gospel with them. And then Wednesday night, we're going to be gathered here. Again, we need car doors open. We need your car door open as you come up, and the ladies are going to provide a meal from 5:30 to 6:30, and then at 7, we're going to gather together, and we're going to pray. We've got a lot of outreaches for children. I saw a recent statistic of the age at which Americans accept Jesus Christ as their Savior, and of those who have believed on the Lord Jesus in this sampling, 46% of them did that when they were under 13 years of age. Another 22% between 13 and 17. We are seeking to reach the children. We're seeking to reach adults as well. We're looking for opportunity. And you know what? As we pray, by the way, you know what one of the big prayer requests is? If you've been watching the weather, you already know what one of the big prayer requests is. You know, there's a hurricane coming our way. Just in time for the good Get Outside Week of Outreach. It's here, just in time. Why? So we can pray. Lord, you know if you want us outside, literally. Tuesday night, it's going to be a little hard to go door to door in the rain. Thursday night, it's going to be hard to be out in a parking lot of an apartment complex in the rain. Saturday, it's going to be very hard, even though we'd already have the water and we just need soap. But I don't know if people want their car washed when it's raining. So we need to pray. Do you believe that God could give us clear skies or at least unrainy skies? He can do that if he wants to. Maybe he doesn't want to. Maybe he wants to let it rain. Maybe he wants us to be creative and trust him to direct us in a different way. And we're going to do some type of outreach, whatever. But then he also asked for clarity there. He said that I may make it manifest. When I go out with the gospel, Lord, and you open the door, I want to be able to make that clear. Help me to do that. I don't want it to be vague. I don't want it to be confusing. I want it to be, humanly speaking, understandable. I want to be able to communicate it as best I can in a very simple way that a child can understand. You know, talking to people about God is not really going to be effective unless I am talking to God about people. So if I don't, before, during, and after, tell God that I'm trusting Him to do this. I'm trusting Him to open the doors. I'm trusting Him to give the opportunities. I'm trusting Him to give the words. I'm trusting Him to enable me to be clear. If you're not praying that, then don't expect to be effective. I shouldn't expect to be effective in getting outside. I'm going to get outside, praise the Lord. The gospel's going to be proclaimed, praise the Lord. But we want to see the impact of that. And that's God's work. That's God's work. So I encourage you to be active in prayer. All right, let's look at number two here as our time moves along. In Paul's guide to getting outside, the second essential is accuracy in the message. He says there in verse 3, we just talked about it, that he's going to speak. He's going to speak the mystery of Christ. And he asked for prayer regarding that, again, for the opportunity and also for clarity. So here we see this idea of accuracy and message. We're thinking here of Paul and mysteries. I want you to notice, go over with me just to Colossians chapter 1. We'll look at a couple of verses here. Throughout the New Testament, we have that word mystery or secret found in our Bibles. This is not something mysterious. This is not like a mystery movie that you're trying to figure out who done it. But rather, a mystery in the Bible is something that was concealed in the Old Testament and was revealed in the New Testament. And had God not revealed it, it would not be known. And I think you find this very clearly here the first time that this word mystery is used in the book of Colossians. Look at verse 26. Look at verse 26. Well, I tell you, we need to start at 24 to get our sentence started. I now rejoice in my suffering for you and fill up in my flesh what is lacking in the afflictions of Christ for the sake of his body, which is the church, of which I became a minister, according to the stewardship from God which was given me for you to fulfill the word of God, the mystery which has been hidden from ages and from generations, but now has been revealed to his saints. To them God willed to make known what are the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. I think verse 26 says it very clearly. It was hidden in the past, and now it's been revealed by God to the people of God through the Word of God. We don't have time to look at the different mysteries that are there, but there are mysteries like Israel's blindness, the union of Jew and Gentile in the church, the relationship of Christ in the church, the rapture, as we have here, the fact that the Lord Jesus actually lives within us. And Paul said, I'm going out and I'm going to, in essence, I'm going to preach Christ. I'm going to preach who He is. I'm going to preach what He's done. I'm going to preach the impact of what He's done. I'm going to preach how Christ can be in you. That's the hope of glory. Paul said, that was revealed to me, and we have been seeing in the book of Galatians that Paul received the gospel directly from God. And so we are going out and we're taking this mystery of Christ. We're taking the gospel message. And you know what? This gospel message, though not a mystery anymore in the biblical sense for the people of God, yet it's still very much a mystery to many people. Many people in the world have never heard the gospel. And many people in Guilford County have never heard the clear gospel. They are, as Paul speaks of those in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, they're those whose minds the God of this age has blinded, who do not believe lest the light of the glory, gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. You see, the power is in the true gospel. How important that is. George Barna recently did another one of his research surveys for American Culture and Faith Institute just in February of last year. And he said this, a large majority of non-Christians in the U.S. do not hear the gospel during a typical year. Worse, when they do have the Christian faith verbally presented to them, shockingly few hear a biblical form of the gospel. You see, there are many people, as Paul tells us in Galatians 1, there are other gospels, but they're not really gospels. They're not good news. That survey, as a result of that, the American Culture and Faith Institute estimates that less than 1 out of every 10 adults who shared a message about their faith with other people at least once a month during the previous year communicated a biblically accurate version of the gospel. That means 9 out of 10. 90% of the people who were out talking about their faith are not sharing the true gospel. But if we have the true gospel, how important is it that we get out there with the gospel, that we get outside? Biblical accuracy is essential both inside and outside. We are very concerned about biblical accuracy here when we come together. We seek to rightly divide the word of truth. What is God saying? We want to present that, not our opinion, but what is God saying? It's important inside for those who were in Christ. How important it is on the outside. Paul wanted to be accurate in getting the message out. Thirdly, acceptance of responsibility. Acceptance of responsibility. Go back to Colossians 4. Colossians 4, and notice what he says in verse 4, where he talks about making it clear, that I may make it manifest as I ought to speak. Paul also asked the Ephesians to pray for him, and he asked for them in the gospel specifically to pray for boldness, and he said it again, as I ought to speak. There's a responsibility. Paul had a sense of obligation. Paul writes to the Roman church, Romans 1, verse 14, I am a debtor both to Greeks and to barbarians, both to wise and to unwise. He goes on to say, so as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you who are at Rome also. Paul saw every individual as somebody to whom he had a debt. If you know the Lord Jesus as your Savior, you have a debt. Paul says later, I don't want to have any debts except the debt of love. And shouldn't it be the debt of love that motivates me to take the gospel? Having the cure for sin, having the antidote to hell, having the reality of purpose in life, knowing true peace and joy and hope and a relationship with God, and that I would keep that to myself. As an atheist recently said, how much do you have to hate someone not to tell them the gospel if you believe is true? How much do you have to hate someone to not tell them the gospel? A simple word. Every Christian has a responsibility to share their faith. Again, coming from that same survey, in 1993, 9 out of 10 Christians who had shared their faith agreed that every Christian has a responsibility to share their faith, 89%. Today, just two-thirds say so, 64%. Now, that's of the Christians who are sharing their faith. That doesn't count the ones who are being silent, who are being quiet. A 25% drop in just having that sense of obligation. How many of us have accepted our responsibility to get outside with the gospel? Only 2 out of every 10 adults, according to this latest study, believe they have a personal responsibility to share their faith in Christ with others who believe differently. What's the percentage in this room? And you know, that's really not so important for you or for me as what's the percentage of me. Where do I fall in that? What is my impact, the impact of my life on those percentages? Does it bump it up a little bit, or does it drop it down a little bit? I'd like to suggest for us today that the responsibility to get outside with the gospel should be viewed as a privilege. It is a duty. It is a responsibility. It is an obligation, but it's a privilege that God would say, I want to take you and I want to use you to touch the lives of people that someone else can't touch the lives of. That's what God is saying to you. Not just those who are well-trained and well-traveled in evangelism. Well, let's hurry on and try to get these last two in. The fourth essential in this guide to getting outside is the application of wisdom. The application of wisdom. Notice there in verse 5, walk in wisdom toward those who are outside, redeeming the time. The walk in the Christian life is exactly that. It's the life. It's the lifestyle. It's the way that we live our lives. Paul gives us a number of wisdom contrasts. This morning in the Lord's Supper, a brother was bringing out some of this contrast between the wisdom of God and the wisdom of the world. Divine wisdom and human wisdom. And Paul is saying, you know what? I want you to apply in your life the wisdom of God. How God looks at people. That's the way that I want you to live toward them. I want you to apply God's wisdom in your life. And we're going to fill in some blanks very quickly here. What does God's wisdom look like compared to the world's wisdom? Well, God's wisdom in living toward unbelievers is humility, not arrogance. It's understanding, not willful ignorance. God's wisdom for living toward unbelievers is love, not anger. It's honey, not vinegar. It's God, not me. It's compassion, not condemnation. It's honesty, not hypocrisy. It's answers, not argument. It's hearing, not just talking. Is patience, not frustration. God says, be wise in the way that you interact, in the way that you live toward other people, in the way that you engage other people regarding the gospel. And then he said, I want you to take advantage of every opportunity, redeeming the time. Every open door I want you to be ready to go through it if I open it in front of you. How God wants you to respond to what's in the bulletin today and those papers out there, I don't know. How God wants you specifically to engage unbelievers in your life, I don't know exactly how that looks. But I do know that if you know the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, there's a commandment here to walk in wisdom. Because the way that we live our daily lives is noticed by those who watch us from outside. Whether we are directly engaging them, or whether we are doing our job, or functioning in a role in society, or dealing with the cashier, or driving down the road, those who are outside are watching our lives, particularly if they know that we name the name of Jesus Christ. They're watching. Very quickly, as we close, let's finish up with answers of grace. Answers of grace in verse 6. Let your speech always be with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer everyone. What we say. When? Always. Notice there. Always. Let your speech always be with grace. How? With grace. A gracious manner. Ephesians 4:29. Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. Why? Why should we speak in a gracious way toward unbelievers? Because it seasons what we say. It seasons the message. I had an opportunity to visit with Brother Amin. He had open heart surgery. They told him he couldn't eat salt. Our brother Amin was concerned. Why? Because that seasons the food. It makes it tastier. It makes the gospel message more desirable when we speak with grace. And who? Notice what we're to do there. We're to know how we're to answer each one. Each individual. To be able to respond to their questions. And sometimes those questions are unspoken. They don't even say it out loud, but they have a question. And we can answer that question. And we should do it with grace. We should do it with grace. People are different. They have different circumstances in life. They have different personalities, different learning styles. And you see, the reception of what I say is greatly impacted by how I say it. And just think about your own life and think about people interacting with you at work, at school, in the neighborhood, at the doctor's office. The way they say it has a big impact on how you receive it. So what has the Lord of the harvest impressed on your heart this morning regarding you getting outside? And we're going to just have a moment of silence with a song playing after I pray. And during that time, I want you just to answer that question. How will you respond right now to what His impression is? How are you going to respond? I want you to respond. I don't want you to leave. Don't leave this room, is my exhortation, until you decide how you're going to respond to this idea of getting outside and what God has impressed on your heart in your life. And we'd love to talk about that more with you later. So let's pray, and then we'll answer this question silently with the Lord. Thank you, Father, for allowing us to be in your word this morning, to be together with others who are longing to hear what you have to say to us. Thank you for Paul. Father, what a wonderful role model of getting outside with the gospel. Father, help us to do that. Bless this week. Father, work in our local church this week. Work through us. Challenge our hearts. Father, may we all be involved in one or more ways. Father, might these essentials be pierced into our hearts that we may not escape or run away or excuse ourselves. Father, do great things. We pray about the weather. We pray about open doors. We pray about clarity. We pray for wisdom. We pray for grace in the way that we interact with people. We pray for a sense of responsibility. And we pray for those who don't know the Lord Jesus. Father, give us a heart for them, and may their hearts be touched by the power of the gospel in some way this week. In the name of the Lord Jesus, amen.